Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome onto the show. I hope you guys can hear me. I am your host, NAANBC founder, Tamika Newhouse, and I'm joined here by my co-star, my co-host, Mariposa Urbania. Hey, Mari, how you doing?
Hello, Simona. I'm good.
Simona, here we go.
Yeah, we're starting
early. Before we jump into the show, I want to let everybody know that Anna Black will not be joining us tonight. She's on a little short hiatus. Hopefully, she'll be back with us next week. But we will be joined by Ms. LaShera Lee to host our Hot Pick of the Week in just about 10 minutes. But Happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year, Mari. It has been a great 2 weeks so far in 2013. So far, no major headaches. What's been going on with you on your end since 2013 has started?
So far on my end, nothing much other than really, really trying to stick to my diet. So when I do those book signings, I don't want to be looking like a big old pot of blubber sitting in a chair signing a book. So I'm trying to work on that. How about on your end?
I see you on that. That is one of the main reasons why I lost weight, too. It's like when you start to see the pictures come back and you see your reflection and
right.
How you are pictured, it's like, ooh, that's me? So definitely wish you much luck on that. Before I jump into some ABC news, though, we haven't been on the air in like 3 weeks, so it's been a while. We took off for Christmas break. We took off for New Year's. We took off for another week after that to kind of get settled within this year alone. So a lot of things have happened within those 3 weeks. So we definitely have a lot to discuss on ABC News and also for Delphine News. Mari, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. Tell us what's going on with Delphine, what news we have, what can we be looking forward to, things like that.
Okay, well, today we had The Holy City by Michael F. Blake come out. So if you haven't already heard of The Holy City, hop on over to our blog, DelphinePublications.wordpress.com, for the scoop on Michael and the story behind The Holy City, all of that. And then I'm going to bring this one up a little bit early because it's time-sensitive information. On the 7th of next month, some of Delphine's finest will be at Howard University for a book fair. So come on out and show Team Delphine some love. Also, don't miss out on your chance to have a private dinner with the Delphine authors on the same day as the book fair. So one lucky person will get this opportunity, so make sure you enter by the 31st of this month. And again, for more information on this, go to Delphine's blog or check out DelphinePublications.com or check out Delphine Publications on Facebook. And also follow us on Twitter at DelphinePub. And I think I got everything. I'm not sure. It's been a long time, so what else did I miss out on?
Yeah, it's definitely been a long time. Like, I'm going through some things now to kind of see if we got everything that we wanted to discuss. But also, you know, we're building onto our street team again.
With the news.
So let me, I'm going to let you talk on that a little bit more, too.
I'm not really sure what else to say other than welcome new Street Team Delphine members. And also we're still looking, trying to get a few more people to join. It doesn't cost you anything. You just have to love reading books and be willing to repost something if we ask you to. I mean, really, it takes 2 seconds just to repost, retweet, whatever. So if you're interested, check out Delphine Publications blog for more information or email MariposaFiction@gmail.com or wherever else you can find Delphine. I'm pretty sure the information should be somewhere on there. So if you're out there, you love reading books, check us out.
I was trying to find really quick how many people I conversed with today alone who we got to join on the street team, but I can't log into it just at this moment. So I want to say somewhere around maybe 11 people that I conversed with today I have been conversing with back and forth for a few months now, and they didn't know about the street team. So we was able to, you know, give them all the information that they needed. And for those who are listening and don't know what the street team is about, it's like a pep squad virtually. So they're pepping, pumping up on Delphine authors and the books and the events and everything that we're doing. And just kind of like word spreaders, word of mouth. So if you want to join the team, and you get extra perks and stuff for being a part of the team, so definitely hit us up. As Mari just stated, you can hit us up on our website, which is DelphinePublications.com, on Twitter at DelphinePub. Now, moving on to AABC News, I'm definitely going to try to go through this really quick so that we can talk about a hot pick of the week. But AABC has gone through some different highlights. We're going to get ready to be talking about our Books That Make You Go Ooh, which is going to be our third year doing this. Books That Make You Go Ooh is our Valentine's and romance celebration that we're going to be doing the first 14th in February. So we're going to get ready to start highlighting a lot of romance novels. Right now, we just debuted our new book of the month that we're reading. It's actually our first children's book of the month. So make sure you go to our website at aambookclub.com and see that. It's called The Crumb Snatchers by Deborah Thompson. We're also still reading Dominique Watson's book as well. So if you go to the main website in the slider, you'll be able to see that full profile on her book as well. We've also done an interview on Michael F. Blake for his book, The Holy City, which dropped today. And then also, as you see, we're getting ready to interview Kimberly Lawson Roby next week. And the following week after that, we're going to be interviewing Carl Weber, which I'm excited about because we haven't had Carl Weber on the show before. We've had Kimberly on maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. So I'm excited to have them back on. We have the book features and the tour is still going on. Right now we're reading on Wellfell Grind by Kendall Banks. So make sure you go and look at the profile, her book on that. And, of course, we're hosting our Twitter parties, which are now on Wednesdays. And we're going to get ready to host a Twitter party tomorrow via Twitter on our Twitter account, which is at AAM Book Club. And we're going to be talking about the book The Loud and Silent by Kai. And I'm going to tweet that out and put that in the chat room in just a moment. What else? There's a lot of stuff going on with ABC, but at the end of this month, we're going to be announcing our ABC Literary Award nominees. This is our fifth year doing the nominations. I'm really excited about that. I'm really pumped. And also, next month, ABC will be celebrating 5 years. So we're getting older, guys. I mean, it's getting to, like, we're heading to our next 5 years before you know it's going to be 10. So I'm excited about that. So we're going to be announcing the ABC Literary Award nominees at the end of this month here on ABC Radio Show. And then next month we're going to be celebrating 5 years. I don't know how I'm going to do the celebration just yet. I'm still kind of marinating on it. So I want to definitely let you guys know. So without further ado, let's bring on Miss LaShera Lee to talk about our hot picks of the week. First of all, Happy New Year, LaShera.
Happy New Year, everyone.
We're sick. So Happy New Year. Welcome on. What's been going on?
Well, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. A lot of good literary news coming up. I see a lot of people are touring this year, which is great because I know the economy is kind of iffy and a lot of publishing companies have kind of frowned or downsized their touring schedule, especially for AA authors. So I'm glad to see that some people are able to hit the road. First, would be remiss if I did not say happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. I appreciate his dream and his vision, which has helped all of us to live out some of our best dreams and some of our best visions. But without further ado, my hot pick for the week is a little, the title itself is a little tested edgy. It is called If My, and I'm going to spell out the letters, P-U-S-S-Y, Could Talk.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
I like it.
And it is by Miss Tamika Smith, who is a Texan. So I figured that Miss Newhouse would probably love her. And I will tell my listeners that this is a short book, short story rather. The book will be coming out hopefully later on in February. But Tamika is also one of my online book club friends. And she and I have chatted, of course, over the course of a couple of years, and now she's branched out into the wonderful world of author. And I must tell you, this short story is off the hook. Just like the title, it is off the hook. It's about a young lady who has achieved a lot of success in her life. Ty, she is an architect of the architect. She's very successful. She's about to make partner. She has a lot of global business. And her relationships are none. She has one friend named Frenemy. They're friends, but they're more enemies than friends, to be honest with you. And she doesn't allow men to get close because she's been hurt. So she only uses men for her own sexual release. So she ends up in a relationship with this man who also happens to be her Frenemy's fiancé. So she enters into this sexual relationship, but she finds out that the more the deeper she gets, the more that she allows herself to feel feelings that she has not allowed herself to feel for years. So that's where you have the climax because she is what we call a freak of the week where her friend is very reserved, probably even getting it on and getting it in any way possible. So she is the woman that her Frenemy isn't when we're talking about sexual release. So that's where the plot lies is if my pee could talk because Ty is enraged and she is in turmoil over all of her relationships because she finds herself delving into a world that she no longer wants to exist.
Wow. And I'm a good at it. I'm looking at the book now on Amazon, and I posted it into the chat room and on Twitter, and her book has been doing pretty good, really solid reviews on the book. And you say that you talked to her personally. Was it her intentions to write a full book, or was it just the
response? Yeah, it is. It's her intentions to write a full book, but she wanted to give everybody a taste of what was to come. But she'll be coming out with the full book in February. Hopefully by the last week she will have the book uploaded on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
the title itself is a little racy. Okay, then I'm gonna ask
you. It's quite racy.
I'm gonna ask your opinion because you're on the book club. You do your radio show, things like that. I mean, you also host a lot of different events for authors. Would you see this book on a shelf at Barnes & Noble or Books A Million?
I don't know. I think that she may tone it down. I know that she has an author page, and the author's page is something else we've done. And one of my friends did something for her. The title was toned down a bit. And, you know, we know that the book cover does sell. And however, some of the younger demographics, the 10 My Church, they love titles like that. That is what they that's what, like, anytime I have an event, they want to know, is this person going to be there, this person going to be there, you know, because they want, you know, the hottest titles, the hottest covers. So, and I personally don't have a problem with it. But I think that some people may be offended, and they may be like closet readers, you know, that they may actually read, you know, if they have an actual print book, they may read it with something over top of it. But, you know, when you have your Kindle, your iPad, or you're browsing on your phone, no one knows what you're doing, you know.
That's
and that's the great thing about these electronic readers, because they give you the anonymity that other, that traditional print does not. So, you know, you can get gullible as you want to. You know, literally, no one knows but you, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon.
And the reason why I asked that is because I wanted to know if you felt that she would have some closed doors
I know, like Walmart and those people, yes, but, you know, I think a lot of times that also breeds a lot of excitement around your book, because everyone wants to know, well, what's going on? Well, why does such and such outlet doesn't want to carry this title? Like when, you know, Angry as Black Woman. Well, you know, that to me helped to bring on more hype, because people want to know what you're blocking.
I agree.
So
yeah.
A lot of times when you have titles like that and people shun. And you know what, really, she's not writing about anything differently than any other romance erotica writer is writing about, but it's her title. But the title is very catching, and she said, like, it did very well, I mean, from the box. I think from the first 2 weeks, it did very well, extremely well, in Paige Kimball. So, you know, excitement, no drama sales. Look at Shut and Love, look at Love and Hip Hop. You know, people want excitement. You know, sometimes our lives can be full of, you know, some drama, but then sometimes it's kind of humdrum. And so you want that excitement. You know, I don't want to read mundane. I want to read something that's going to excite me or have me talking back to characters or, you know, something a little different. So, you may have those people who shun the book due to the title, or they may shun it publicly, but, you know, they're the first ones going down to their electronic device to try to download the book.
Right. Well, Ms. LaShare, I appreciate you giving us a hot pick of the week. Definitely racy. And
it's hot.
Definitely something I would be like, wait a minute, let's see what this is about. So definitely, if you follow us on Twitter or in our chat room, we have placed the link out there for you. But, again, it's called If My Pussy Can Talk by Tanika Smith. Make sure you go and Google search that and download and get your copy. We talk about these hot picks of the week for a reason. So, LaShare, if you can let everybody know where they can find you at on Twitter, Facebook, and your blog talk, they can check you out later on during the week.
Or you can find me on Twitter at Read You Later, on Facebook, and LaShare Lee, and also my book club, Roundtable Readers, a literary book club. And you also can find me on my blog talk at www.blogtalk.com/readyoulater.
All right, ma'am. Again, everyone, thank you, LaShare. Stay warm.
Well,
I don't know
you.
How it is in Virginia. Definitely stay warm. And we will see you back on the show next week.
All right, and thank you all.
Thank
Bye.
You, ma'am. Now we're joined. Mari, I'm going to turn the floor over to you as we bring on our featured guest for the evening.
Okay, everyone, we have a special treat for you all tonight. We have Miss Chunichi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Hey.
Okay.
I don't know why I was expecting. Let me do a side note. I don't know why I was expecting, and somebody may be mad at me for this, for, you know, hey, girl, what the hell's going on? I don't know, but you sound so nice. What's going on?
You nice.
I mean, I thought he was going to be hood, like, hey, girl, what's up? Let's get it popping. Like, I'm here.
You know what? So, you know, that's interesting because when I do my book signings, I've had plenty of people to come to me and they say, what do you know about being a gangster's girl? And I'm like, wait a minute. What does that mean? So they look at me and they hear me and they're like, nah, you couldn't write these books. You don't know nothing about being a gangster's girl. Looks are deceiving.
That is
true.
Know, when I first saw you, I thought the same thing. I was like, wait a minute. That's the person who wrote that book? Like, okay.
And I probably say what I said because I have never seen you. I've never met you in person. And then we don't see pictures of you on the internet. So it's like you're mysterious. So we don't know. So the only thing we can assume is just based off of your books and how you write. You feel? So that's why I thought you was going to be like gangsta girl, like Queen Latifah and Set It Off, like how she was, you know, like, okay, let me be quiet, y'all. Let me be quiet.
Okay, so
that's
first
funny.
Off, I've always wondered this. Is Chunichi your real name?
It is. Yep.
Wow.
That's my
government. My mom always wondered that one.
Yeah,
okay.
Unfortunately.
No, I wouldn't say unfortunately. That's a unique name. The crazy thing is, though, have you ever Googled yourself?
I have. And then you get a whole bunch of Chunichi Dragon stuff to come up.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, what the hell? Like, okay.
Yeah, my name is Japanese, but I didn't realize until I Googled myself that they have a baseball team called the Chunichi Dragons. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
funny.
They do.
Yeah.
That's cool. I thought it was a pen name, too. So that was a good question, Mari.
I always wondered that.
How many books have you written, either? Because you are one of the few authors that the names and things I've seen even before I got into this industry. So I've seen and heard of you beforehand. How many books do you have out?
I have 13 that are like novels and novellas, and then there's a few like anthologies that I have that are out there that I did with some other authors. But yeah, I've been writing since, well, I had my first publication in 2004. And I started writing in 2002. So, yeah.
Wow. How did you get started writing?
Ooh, that's an interesting thing. And sometimes I kind of feel bad when I tell my story because I can't say I always dreamed of being a writer. I can't say I submitted my manuscript to 100 publishers, got turned down by 99 and picked up by that final one. I don't have one of those great, great stories. Basically, what it boils down to is I was going through a tough, tough time in my life, like a huge transition in my life. It was just to say what it is, and like I told everybody on Facebook and Twitter that I'm going to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. So here it is. I was dating a guy that was a drug dealer, and I totally depended on him. I went to school, and that's all I did. I went to a community college, and I felt like that's all I needed to do. He paid all my bills. He bought all my clothes. He had food in the house. He did it all. So he bought my car, the whole nine. So that's what I did. I went to school. I got pregnant. He ended up going to jail. I ended up losing my baby. Then it was just like downhill from there. I had to quit school. I had to go to work full time, which is not something I was accustomed to. I had to pay bills. I had to learn how to budget the whole nine, something else I'm not accustomed to. So I was just like an emotional wreck all the way around. And it got to a point that I was very, very, very depressed. And my mom, she lived in Northern Virginia at the time. I was living in Virginia Beach. She was so concerned. And she came down. She was like, listen, if you're not going to talk to me, no one knows what's going on. Could you please see a therapist? And I'm looking at her like, therapist? Uh-uh, black people, we don't go see therapists. You know, you tripping, ma. So she was like, no, because she was so worried. You know, she was like, I'm losing my child. What's going on? So I agreed to go. I went to the therapist. I looked at her. She looked at me. I wouldn't talk to her, and it was just like, this is the waste of my mama, $60 an hour. So the therapist was like, okay, listen, if you're not going to talk to anybody, at least put your thoughts on paper. So I was like, okay, I think I can do that. So I'm home, and it was literally like I started off my very first book. It was literally the holidays, and I was sitting in my room, and I was crying, and I just started to write. And after 30 days, I had a book. I had a couple people read it, and they was like, you need to get this published. And then there's my story. I sent it to Carl Welber. He, at first, he told me, this is not a manuscript format, so I can't do anything to this, so you put it in manuscript format. So I was like, okay. I didn't know what manuscript format was. So I just, like, threw it aside, and I was like, okay, on with my regular life. 2 weeks later, he called me back. He was like, I hope I didn't, you know, discourage you or anything. I'm very interested, but you have to have it in manuscript format. So I went and took a little class at the community college, learned how to do it, put it in format, sent it back to him. He sent me my contract a few weeks later.
Oh, wow.
The rest is history. Yeah.
And wow. So I think you just answered my next question.
That was a lot. I'm sorry?
Girls from the Hood, is that your first book?
It's actually my second book. A Gangster's Girl was my first book, and then Girls from the Hood was my second book. It was actually, that was my first contract. It was for one book and a novella deal was my very first contract.
And so you've been with other books your entire career. Am I correct? Are you still with them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Cool. Okay, so I have a question really quick. I don't know what question you have. Let me ask you this one question, because not a lot of authors, how you got your book deal was definitely before this whole industry has changed. I definitely want to ask you your opinion on how you think the industry is now. But you've been with your this one publisher your whole career. Do you pretty much make demands? Do you get to do what you want now? Are you getting the money that you want? Tell us how it is being with one publisher, you know, your entire career.
Well, it's the industry in general is a roller coaster. Because when I first started, it wasn't very many urban authors. You know, it was Nikki Turner, you know, Terry Woods, Vicky Stringer, just a handful. So I didn't have a whole lot of competition. So Carl was like the first imprint. You know, he had the big Kingsington, which is a big publishing house. They picked him up, had him do his first imprint, which was Urban Authors. So the opportunity that I had, you know, was much greater than the opportunity that authors have now. So when I went on, they valued my opinion, you know, and as I started selling more books, of course, the more valuable you are to a company, the more they're going to try and accommodate your needs. And I didn't really have big demands. I don't even know how they end up giving me the name Urban Diva, because I surely never, I can't say the only thing is I was always late. They always had to wait on me for everything, but I'm always on CP time. Everybody forgive me for that, but not because I thought I was a diva, but I didn't have any great demands or anything, but they pretty much do what they can to make me happy. But however, things have kind of made a turnaround since the market is so oversaturated at this point, and there are so many independent self-published people that they can actually compete with the, you know, bigger publishing companies. So now, whereas my royalties, of course, you know, that can increase, but my advances, where I used to get, you know, huge contracts 3-4 years ago, now the contracts are smaller. So, like, I've even seen a shift in, you know, the royalties and the money that comes in to me just because, you know, the market is such competition in the market right now. But I kind of like sticking with the same publishing company because I know them. I know how they operate. I know which buttons to press and which buttons not to press. And the same with me. They know what they can tell me and they know what they can't tell me. They know what I'm going to go for and what I'm not going to go for. So it kind of works, you know, for both of us.
With that being said about the way that the industry is right now, would you advise anyone to just, like, try and get started or be like, well, I'm just going to drop everything. This is what I'm going to do. I know I'm going to make it, blah, blah, blah.
I would never, and even Carl told me when I started writing, I would never advise if you have a career and you have a steady income, stick with your steady income and let writing be a supplemental income. Because even right now, even though I am, quote, unquote, a successful author, I'm a travel nurse. I travel. You know, I have a full-time job. I have a career job, you know. So, yes, you know, the money that I receive outside of nursing from, you know, books are good, but it's not a definite income. And for some, you know, that may work for them. But me, I'm a type of person, I know my lifestyle, you know, I know what monetary needs I need. So I can't have something that's so bearable such as books. You know, it's based off of sales. When people don't have money to spend on books, they're not going to buy books. They're going to pay their light bill. They're going to have their, you know, pay their rent, things of that such. Like when we had the recession, it affected the book market. I felt that in my pockets, you know. So I would never advise anybody to say, you know, I'm just putting my 100% into writing and I know I'll be a successful author and I'm going to make this my career. No, I would never advise somebody to do that.
That's a good question. Before we jump into our next question, we do have a caller. I want to give them the opportunity to ask you a question. If they do have one, they could just be listening. But I'm going to state your area code, caller. Your area code is 678. That's Atlanta, I want to say. Can you state your name and your question?
Hi, my name is Lisa. And I just wanted to say
Hi.
Happy New Year to you all.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm so excited. I just wanted to make sure that the listeners do know that you are truly a sweet and genuine person, and I'm looking so forward to seeing you next week if we're still coming through.
I am.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
That's one of
Atlanta.
My coworkers. I work in Atlanta with
oh,
her.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, so this is a nursing job?
Yes.
Oh, girl, you got me excited. I thought you was coming for a book signing.
I'm sorry.
Actually, she is. It is a personal book signing that she will be doing for a personal favor. But
okay, you could be coming on the show.
Ladies, this is a genuine person.
Thank you, Lisa. I miss y'all.
You're so welcome. continue to be blessed, sweetie. We'll talk with you soon. All right.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Now, we did have a lot of callers online, but some dropped off, and then some did not press 1, so that means they do not want to speak. But if you do have a question for the author of the hour, please press the number 1 on your touchscreen phone, and we will definitely put you on the air. Now, before I turn it over to Mari, because I do have one more question. Mm-hmm. I keep saying I got one more question. But I actually got 2 because I wrote down notes. But one of my questions is, when you talk about when you first started and you got into this industry, there were only a few urban writers and what they may want to call street lit. You had Nikki Turner, Vicky String Kwan. You had a handful. Do you feel that your career has elevated like theirs in the past 10 years, or do you feel like you've kind of stayed the same? Are you satisfied with where you're at?
I don't, and a lot of people say that I downplay who I am, but I always aspire to be like them. In some people's eyes, I am on the same level as them, but I feel like they kind of open doors for me. So I think they have a certain amount of respect, and they have a certain following as well as I have, you know, a certain amount of respect and a following as well. As far as my career over the 10 years, yes, it's flourished, and I'm grateful for, you know, all of my readers. However, I feel like I have so much more to say other than about street literature, and I would like to kind of venture off in other areas of writing. However, my publishing company kind of, you know, they want to stick to what they know. They know that urban lit will bring them money. They don't know that if I go and write, you know, sci-fi, I'm not necessarily interested in sci-fi, but if I went to, you know, write something outside of my spectrum, that I will continue to have the, you know, the readers that I have. So it could kill my career, which, you know, I totally understand from a business aspect of them having that concern, but I would really, really love the opportunity to write something that's nonfiction. I've written a lot of fiction that's based off of experiences that I've had, but for instance, the particular book that me and my father are working on, based on my grandmother's life, and it's a nonfiction book, and I really would like to write it and have it published and still be respected as the author that I am, even though it's not street literature.
Okay. Any more questions, Tamika?
I actually do, but I'm trying to give you the opportunity. But since you
said
I think my next question.
Uh-huh.
Since you slow, this is my next question. Why the mystery? Because I'm gonna be honest. I thought that like Noray. I didn't know Noray was a person until I started talking to her personally. I thought it was another artist who's well known that had a pen name. And so
Me
I
too.
Thought that was the same with you. Yes, I thought that you were a pen name under somebody else. So because
okay.
there's a mystery, you know. There's a
well,
mystery.
You know,
like,
you're not the first person who's said something to me about that. Okay, just to keep it, you know, 100, I like to be ratchet sometimes. I like to go to Walmart with my, you know, sweatpants on and my hat and nobody knows. I mean, that's the honest to God truth. And actually, as much as I try to stay private, because at one time on Facebook, I used to post, like, pictures and everything. And if you notice now, you go on my Facebook page, there's no pictures of me. It's just, like, book stuff. Unless somebody else has tagged me on a picture that they have of me, I don't personally post any. And the funniest thing is, even though I try to take all these routes to kind of, you know, stay semi-private, I was in Miami one day, and this girl came up to me, and she was like, "Are you Chinichi?" And I'm like, "Yes." And she was like, "Yeah, I'm one of your friends on Facebook. I love your books." And she just went on to talking to me. And I'm like, wow, you know, out of all the people on Facebook, she was able to identify me, you know, all the way in Miami and come up to me and say that. So, like, in a way, it's a little unnerving. But at the same time, like I say, I love my readers, because without my readers, there is no Chinichi. So like I said, I like to have my ratchet moments. I love to just be able to go with my sweatpants and get some Chinese food, you know, whatever, and nobody even think twice about it, you know. So that's the reason why. There's nothing more to it. It's just that, you know, you'll never see my picture on my book. Sorry, any of that stuff. So sorry, guys.
That makes sense. Okay. All right, Mari. You asked a question. You can, because I got some more. This is good.
That was kind of a part of my question in a way, because I know for years and years, once I first read A Gangster's Girl, I was like, man, who is this author? I need to find more, more, more. And I'm looking online, couldn't find you nowhere. I'm like, well, is it a man? Is it a guy? So pretty much all we know as your readers, which obviously I am, by the way, all we know is pretty much the book. So tell us more about Chinichi, the person, if you don't mind, a little bit more.
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. Well, Chinichi is single. Chinichi has no children. Although I don't have children, I love children. And I'd say the things that identify me first, yes, of course, I'm an author. But believe it or not, and when I say this, it blows people's mind, I am a child of God, and I'm very, very, very into my spirituality. So that's like top of the top with me. And I'm very, very close with my nieces. So, like, the love of my life is Christ. Writing, my career as a nurse, because I love nursing. I love caring for people and my nieces. I don't have any pets, but I did have one that I ended up having to give away, but I love, love, love dogs. I love to travel. I love to shop. And believe it or not, I actually love to talk to people, although when people meet me, they kind of don't know how to approach me because they say I don't have the most welcoming face because I don't smile very much. I don't smile. I kind of, because I'm, you know, I'm a Scorpio, and when I say I'm a Scorpio to the T. Like, I observe first, and then I find out where I fit in, and then I'll, you know, kind of creep in there and pick and choose who I want to talk to and about what. So I think that's me in a nutshell.
Now, I have a nosy question, and you can say I don't want to answer that if you want to. But when you first started talking, you mentioned how you got into the industry and how you ended up going kind of like this depressive state after your boyfriend was locked up. What happened to him?
Drugs. He got locked up for drugs.
Oh, so is he free now? Is he home, or is he still doing the same old, same old?
He's home now, and he's been a good boy. Believe it or not, he spent a lot of time in jail. He was in jail for 8 years, so... after 8 years, I hope you know how to come home and get it together.
Right.
And so he may be having a book to come out soon, too, because A Gangster's Girl was based off of him, and he actually was going to, like, do, which I don't mind at all, he was going to do, like, a retaliation to A Gangster's Girl from the man's, his perspective, because I wrote it from my perspective. So he was going to write it from his perspective. So
a retaliation as he was mad, or it was something that you guys just talked about?
Not necessarily mad, but he felt like I didn't – I mean, it's a fiction book, so, I mean, he felt like I didn't portray him to the fullest, you know, like I kind of portrayed him to be a bad guy when he wasn't a bad guy, and, you know, I wasn't the perfect ride or die chick either, you know. So he wanted to go in and kind of, you know, put it in from the man's point of view. So I'll tell you, you know, if you do that, you know, best wishes. It'll be interesting. I want to read it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. So definitely keep us posted on that. You know, that would be interesting. Okay. So
another nosy question. Oh, wait, go ahead. What's your question? You go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is my question. I thought you were going, my man. So this is my question. Mm-hmm. You have stated that you may want to start going to other genres. And obviously your publisher wants to stay with what they know and what they feel is going to make them money. So will you ever go solo or self-publish, which would be like your first ever, and actually do that so that you can, you know, kind of touch bases in everything that you've wanted to do as far as in your writing career? Will you go solo and self-publish?
Well, you know, a lot of people have encouraged me to do that just because, one, I have a lot of people that are around me that I know personally that want to write, and they're, you know, trying to get published, and they're having such a hard time, and they're like, hey, why don't you start your own publishing company, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But the truth is I'm not the busy, savvy type of person. Like, I don't have the patience to set up, you know, the business plan and say, okay, I need to reach out to these people. I just don't have that in me. I'm more of a person that, okay, tell me how much money it takes, and then you tell me exactly what I need to do. That's all I want to hear. I don't want to, when the problem arises, you need to fix the problem, because I don't know how to fix the problem. So I don't think that me self-publishing would be the best thing, because I know that I don't have what it takes. Like, it takes a very person that's, you know, very technical, that has the patience to deal with the different people, know how to solve the problems when they pop up. I'm not that person. Now, my close family member, somebody came to me and said, listen, I'm going to run this business. This is what it takes. Give me X amount of money, and I can guarantee you that I'm going to do everything that it takes. I'll be like, sure, here you go. But me, no, I can't do it. I wish I had it in me, but no, I don't.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm done. I don't have no more questions. I'll be nosy. Something that's going to come up, that I know it.
I'll wait, but for now, let me ask you.
Get all the questions out, because this is as free as I've ever been. Because normally on my interviews,
uh-oh,
I'm quiet and uptight. No, and I told, like I said, I told everybody on Facebook that I'm no holes bar. I'm letting it out. So this is the one and only time that I've ever been this way.
Have you had any liquid courage tonight?
I'm sorry?
Have you had any liquid courage tonight?
I don't know what you said.
Have you had something to drink tonight, like liquid courage?
Oh, no. No, actually, I haven't.
Okay. All right.
God have mercy.
I'm going to put a disclaimer up on this show.
No, Taniki was drunk during the interview.
I'm not liable.
Wow.
No, I am very, very sober.
Okay.
Wow. Anyway, jumping back to something you said earlier, you said when you first came out, it was only a few urban fiction authors, which is true. Did you ever have a little, like, jealousy issue maybe between you and another author who felt like maybe you were stepping on their toes or vice versa?
No, I couldn't say that, because I'm not even really in the literary circle, if you know what I mean. Like, there's not many authors that can say they know me. They may know my name. They may have seen my face at, like, events. But as far as know me personally, I don't get caught up in that, which, I'm kind of proud of, because there's a lot of, from what I hear, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. So the only person I can say that's another author that can, like, really, really say that they know me is Nikki Turner. And, you know, that's just my big sister. So I can't really say that I'm envious of anybody, or, you know, that me and anybody have really bumped heads, because I really don't talk much, and I kind of stay to myself. Like I said, I'm more of an observer than I am a talker. So.
Darn, I was hoping for some juice there.
Oh, sorry. Now, it may be some what I like to call silent haters out there. Now, it very well may be some people who can't stand Chinichi, but Chinichi don't know about it, so.
Of course, you're Chinichi. I mean, shoot, you know there's somebody out there in the corner right now giving you the side eye, like, ugh. Nothing, Tamika, yet that didn't get your ideas flowing? Oh, I guess Tamika doesn't have a question yet.
I'm sorry, my call dropped, so I just got back on. Sorry about that.
You hung up on us. Oh, my goodness. No other question yet?
No, no other questions yet. So I'm still listening. Go ahead.
Okie dokie. So, Ms. Chunichi, when you're writing, how do you do it? Do you have to, does it just flow out, or do you have to, like, create a certain environment to get your thoughts going, or how do you do it?
Initially, when I started writing, it would just flow out because I had so much inside of me that needed to, mm-hmm. you know, come out. But as I mentioned before, I write a lot based on my experiences. Even though it's exaggerated and elaborated and I do certain things to keep the attention of my audience, it's still based on experiences. I can't write about what I don't know about, point blank, because I just feel like I can't give you a good book if I don't know what I'm talking about. So I only write about what I know about. So as my life has changed, I'm not affiliated with certain things. I'm not a part of the drug game anymore. My boyfriend is not a drug dealer. So I'm not attached to those type of things, but I have to still write about those type of things. So now it's not as easy for me. Now I find myself doing a write-up, which, you know, includes my synopsis and a character sketch and, you know, the first 5 or 6 chapters. I have to, like, put stuff in order. I have to map it out now. Versus before, I used to just sit down and I just go edit whenever I feel like it. I could be riding down, you know, the road and I pull out my cell phone and then I'm making voice notes. But now it's getting harder and harder for me to write about those type of things just because I'm not doing it. I'm not around it. And, you know, I really don't have much to say about it. I think I've said everything I could possibly say about, you know, sex, drugs, crime, et cetera. And it even got to the point where now my, when I send in my book, I get edit notes back, and, like, all of my sex scenes say, please expand sex scene. Please expand sex scene. Because my first book was so darn raunchy that they need all the rest of them to follow up with that. And I'm like, there's nothing else I can say about sex. I mean, I don't know what else y'all want this girl to do. She's done it all, you know. So, yeah, it gets harder for me now. So I do character sketches and all that stuff now versus before. It used to be 1, 2, and I just sit down and go edit.
Wow. What project are you working on now? Can you tell us a little about what can we expect from you in the future?
Well, I've just finished up something with a friend of mine, Misha Cam. She's actually was signed to Urban Books, and she had a couple of books released with them. And she asked if I would do a book with her. And, of course, you know, she's my friend, so I accepted. And this book is actually, even though we're kind of in between negotiating a contract right now, so I don't have any definites on it, but this book is definitely something that I enjoyed working on because, like I said, it was outside of the box. It wasn't my regular urban street fiction. When you read this book, you don't know if this girl is black, you don't know if she's white, you don't know if she, you know, you can't categorize her as, you know, a street person. And it's really interesting. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Sybil, which is basically about this lady who has multiple personalities and she does all type of, you know, horrific things. This book is kind of similar to that. This is a young girl who went through some things as a child, and now that she's an adult, it has affected her. And she's very promiscuous, and at the same time, she's very violent. So, like I said, I had a lot of fun writing that book, and hopefully we'll get something worked out contract-wise where it'll be out soon.
Okay. Are there any upcoming events where people who haven't already met you can get a chance to meet you, get their book signed, et cetera?
Right now I don't have anything on my schedule just because I haven't had a new release. I normally would, you know, do signings right when I have a new release, which is normally every December. But this past December, excuse me, I didn't have a release. So once I get out this new book, then I'll start scheduling signings and things like that.
Okay.
I'm gonna be when I'm Googling your name and things, you know, I want to give people information about you, how they'll be able to find you and things like that. I can't find your website. So where's your website and things like that? Oh, you have a picture of you on Twitter. Hey, look at that. Hey, everybody go to her Twitter. It said,
are you going to my Instagram? If you want to see me in rare form, and this is, everybody listen up because I don't give out this information. You can go to my
Instagram. Oh, I already
found
you. Also, I've been following you on Instagram.
So there's Shanichi. There's Shanichi acting up. Instagram, I just let loose. So now everybody who wants to know who really Shanichi is, go to my Instagram page. It's at Arthur Shanichi. Same thing for my Twitter. Twitter, I'm not on as much.
Your show.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm about to put this out here. Okay, I'm going to follow you on Instagram so I can be nosy.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
So before we try to round up this evening, I know that we just asked you about your events, and we talked about pretty much a lot of things that we can think of. It's been really fun. Like, you've been a really fun artist to have on. You weren't born or anything like that, because I would have said it if you were born. I've done that before. But you've been really good. I really enjoyed tonight. So I want to know, as far as what can people expect you to be doing within 5 years in your writing career? Are you going to be branching out into maybe like movies or stage plays? I know you said you didn't want to self-publish, but is it possible that you may even start developing writers under you? Tell us what we may see from you within like the next 5 years.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? Hello?
Hello? I'm sorry. I got disconnected. I'm back now.
Okay, you're back. Okay, my call got dropped. I was like, dang again? Okay. Okay, so my question was, what do you expect for people to see you within 5 years? Are you going to be looking to branch out into movies, stage plays, even developing other writers under you? I know you say that you didn't want to self-publish, but, hey, you never know what may happen. So what do you think you may be doing within 5 years in your writing career?
5 years from now, I hope that I would have been able to spread my wings and, you know, venture off into some other genres. I also hope that I would have helped a lot of the newer authors get on their feet, whichever way I can. I'm always answering emails on Facebook about, you know, what can I do, what should I do, do you have any advice for me? I'm always open to doing that. And if there's a couple people, like I said with Misha, I did a book with her. I have another young man that he's sending me a manuscript that I'm going to review, and I may be doing a book with him. So if I believe in your work and I see that, you know, you're willing to do what it takes to get on your feet, then I will do whatever I can to help new authors, you know, reach their goals.
Cool. Well, Ms. Shanichi, I have really enjoyed you coming on to the show and talking to us, exposing yourself to us. I mean, this is really fun.
Thank you. I had fun, too.
It's really rare where I get to bring on authors, and you guys are really interesting. I'm really interested in hearing more about you, and because I have, like I said, you are this big mystery. So that's what I was really invested in, really being nosy. So you're not everyone. She's not a go. It's not a ghostwriter. It's not a pen name. It's a real person. So you can follow her on Twitter at Arthur Shanichi, or on Instagram at Arthur Shanichi. So that's really easy to remember. And if you want to find out about all of Lucifer books over the span of her 13-year career, definitely Google her name or go to Amazon and just type in Shanichi. No one else has his name. She's definitely unique. So thank you so much for coming on and exposing yourself to us. And I definitely want to wish you another great 13-plus years.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
Thank you, ma'am. And then, of course, the door is always open if you ever want to come back on.
All righty.
Again, everyone, we've been joined by Ms. Arthur Shanichi. She is a living legend, I guess you could say, in the urban lit genre. So it was really a humbling moment to have her on here. And like I said, it was awesome. Like, I really enjoyed myself, Myra. Didn't you enjoy yourself?
I truly did.
I had a lot of questions. I was really invested. I was being nosy. And I'm so glad she answered my questions. You know, I was hoping I wasn't being too nosy. But you guys, definitely, you want to find more about her and just kind of follow her every day, things that she's doing. She's on Twitter and Instagram. How great is that? I mean, that's better than Facebook, in my opinion. So definitely, you go follow her on Arthur Shanichi and just be nosy. Just say, hey, Tamika says to follow you and be nosy. So, hey, so she won't be mad.
Wow.
So, again, everyone, thank you so much. It was a really great show. So hopefully next week we'll have Our third host back on, Anna Black. We're going to be having Kimberly Lawson Roby on next week. Let me make sure I'm correct. Next week we're going to be having her on. Let me see. Oh, I'm sorry. Next week is Carl Weber. Oops. Sorry.
Ooh.
Next week we're going to be having Carl Weber on. We're also going to be hosting a giveaway on his book this weekend for his book, The Man in 3B. Oh, I've started reading that book as well. I haven't finished it, but I need to. It's a really good book. And then the following week after that, we're going to be interviewing Kimberly Lawson Roby. And then on the 30th, we're going to be doing a special segment here on the show to host the AMC Literary Award nominations. And we're going to be revealing the nominees for this year's Literary Awards, our fifth year doing this. I'm real excited about that. And we're also going to be hosting a giveaway on Kimberly's book as well. And as I said, we have our Books of the Month by Dominique Watson and then also Ms. Deborah Thompson. So make sure you go to our website at aambookclub.com. Go follow us on Twitter at AAM Book Club. Befriend us on Facebook at AAM Book Club. Everything is AAM Book Club. Come on, folks. This is if all else fails and you can't remember anything, you can Google AAMBC or AAM Book Club, and everything should be able to come up within those first five links. All that is going to be us. So I will see you all back here on next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And you guys get ready to watch The Real Housewives of Hollywood. It's going to be debuting tonight on BET. I'm excited about that. I almost forgot on my Twitter. You said what?
I almost forgot about that show. I have been waiting so long for this show. Ooh, Robin Thicke.
I'm ready to laugh. I'm ready to just forget all my problems. I'm ready to not even look at my computer and just laugh my butt off. I'm tweeting live about the show on my own personal Twitter account, which is at Tamika Newhouse, like I bought a new house. So follow me on Twitter, Facebook me at Tamika New, at Boss Lady Tamika Newhouse. You can follow me on Instagram as well at Boss Lady Tamika. And Mari, you can follow Mari on Twitter, Arthur Mariposa, Mariposa. Her Facebook, what is your Facebook, Mari?
I think it's just Mariposa Urbana.
It's Mariposa.Urbania.7. That is your Facebook.
Oh, there we go.
So that's Mariposa.Urbania, which is URBANA.7, the number 7, on Facebook. And again, her Twitter is Arthur Mariposa. What is your Instagram?
Is Arthur Mariposa or no. It's Mariposa Urbania.
Mariposa Urbania, gotcha. So follow, Mariposa Urbania. I'm looking at that right now. So make sure you go and follow her on Twitter, follow her on Instagram. I'm going to tweet that out into the group as well. And then I will see you all guys here. So make sure that you're following us on Twitter and follow us on Facebook so that you can have your chance to win copies of Carl Weber's book coming up this weekend. Really excited about that. So, again, everyone, you guys have a blessed night. Turn on BET at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to watch Kevin Hart's new show. Make sure you support him. And I will see you all back here with Mari and Miss Anna Black and Miss LaShera Lee for another hot pick on next week. Be blessed. Yeah.